I really love that we're taking it piece by piece. When Pastor Rhonda said this is like the Sunday school of harvest, and I thought, you know, that is, if we miss anything, I think sometimes we miss getting in the Word. Yes. And diving in there and picking it apart and reading it like that. So I just think it's been, because the Word is the only thing that changes us. And so I've loved it. And now I know that this chapter is really not for any of you in here. But it is, it is the chapter that Pastor Rhonda told me to do. So I'm going to do it. But I think that she had a plan. She figured if you take good enough notes and pay good enough attention, you can take those papers to the people that you know need them. So, in the first chapter, in the first verse, James immediately starts talking about teachers. And he tells us that not many of you should be teachers, because a teacher is held to a higher accountability. Because we represent, you know, we're representing Jesus in spirit and in behaviors and in words and in duties. And in the world, they are only judged by their performance, what they do, how well they do their job. But as in the body of Christ, it's not just that. It's not like, oh, that, how great they did that. But it's how do they speak when they're not right here? How do they act? How do they talk to people? How do they carry themselves? That's where the judging comes in. And it says that you will receive a stricter judgment, because by the character we reveal who are we really. Yes. So to me, first off, he's saying you better really know that you're called to be a teacher. And by knowing, I think it means, you know, it's that thing that you do that lifes you, like you love that, like I can't wait to whatever that is. Then but you're doing it knowing that every single word you say, mercy, out there and in here, is going to receive a stricter judgment, a greater judgment. Because James says, you're not just responsible for you, but you're responsible for all those that you teach. Ephesians says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And even though everyone's not called to teach, like standing here, I don't know how many times I can think of that I've actually heard Susan Vernon teach. But I know that I watch her every single time I see her teaching. And that's what our life is supposed to do. We are supposed to teach by that. And as Christians, everywhere we go. And then James says, but we all stumble. And I love that about James, because as Tim was saying, he's a pastor. So he's teaching pastorally. And he's not like, well, you know, you're going to stumble. But I have I'm above that now. I've reached this other level. I've achieved it. I know how to control it. He's saying, we're all going to stumble. Yes. We're all going to make a mistake. We're all going to say something that we wish, oh, we hadn't said. And through the years, I've learned that people are going to say whatever they want to say. And I just can't always engage in that with them. And although I haven't always gotten it perfect or right, I am always striving toward being better about it. Like, I'm a fixer, and like I really think that I can fix things, not like, you know, toilets, but like people, I do think I can fix them. And I think that if I can talk to you long enough, if I can share this with you, if I listen, if I tell you I understand, then I think that by enough of that, I can change it. I can shift it. I can move you to a different thought pattern. And I've found in my life that it doesn't always work. Amen. Sometimes, some people, maybe, but not always. And so I've learned that I have to be more careful with my conversations. I have to be careful, what am I even going to be a part of in a conversation? I can't change all the mindsets. I can't change the situations. Only God can do that. And so we have to all the time, more and more, watch what we're doing with our words. So we can't excuse what we do and then judge someone else because of what they do. like, oh, she was so hateful. He spoke harshly to me. You know what? Did you hear what he had to say? But we don't even look inside. Like, what do we say? What did we do? We don't judge ourselves. We don't want to do that. I mean, you know, who wants to do that? Turn it around and look on the inside. But we have to turn it around because that is where the war is. And I titled this, The War Within. And there is a war within. And we have to work toward a less stumbling. And that's a sign of spiritual maturity. But from there, after he talks about that, he hits it hard. He talks about the tongue. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't mince his words. And he doesn't care if he hurts your feelings. He is going to tell you that if you aren't careful, you are going to offend someone with your mouth. That your tongue is going to run away with you. And you're going to wish with all that you could change it. And he's telling you it's a deadly fire. It is poison. And in my Bible, the heading is called the untamable tongue. I mean, like, the untamable tongue. Like, you know, that's like really discouraging. I mean, it's untamable. I mean, I have a tongue too. So, you know, I mean, what do you mean it's untamable? It could be disheartening. You know, it's like, you go out and buy a dog, and they say, here's this little puppy. Now, I'm going to, you can take her home, and she's so sweet. But, you know, her parents, well, I'm just going to tell you, this dog is untamable. Right. Oh, here's this little baby. So precious. Isn't he cute? You take him home, but he's untamable. Or, here, congratulations, you're married, and your husband is untamable. And after James, amen. And after James tells us how very powerful our tongue is, that no man can tame it, then he tells us, you know, it's a fire. It's unruly. It defiles the whole body. And we've all heard the song, sticks and stones, but words such a lie. Because, number one, nothing can cause more harm than the tongue. Keeping our speech under close control is a discipline every believer must develop. Because a broken bone, although it hurts, it's going to heal way faster than the hurt that someone gets in their heart when we say something that crushes them. And we're out there throwing around our words like they're grenades, just leaving a mess of destruction behind us, saying whatever we feel like we should say, or because it's our right, right? I mean, we can say what we want. We can say what we feel. Shouldn't we be able to do that? And then behind us, we're leaving destruction. Because criticism and the cruelty of the words, they have the power to destroy. They cause a wound that is so deep that without the healing oil of the Holy Spirit, it's never going to heal. And not only that, but you're going to be judged for it. So we have to watch every word that comes out of our mouth. And you know, it's not always easy to watch every word. You know, we get to going on something, but you can, and I think this is on your paper, but it's not a write-in. It talks about how you never trust your tongue when your heart is hurt. Because you'll say something that you'll regret, or something that you might not even remember saying. And because your tongue is just spewing out all of this poison, it's best to just shh, be quiet, hush, shh, don't speak until your heart heals. And sometimes we also just need to stop and think. You know, how do I want to be spoken to? How do I want people to speak of me? I need to speak to them that way. I need to speak about them that way. I need to be careful of everything. The Bible says, do unto others. Because we'll either use our tongue in bitterness and destroy and cause harm, or in love to uplift and encourage. And we probably all remember that fire up in Gatlinburg, where I think it was a match. I meant to ask Tim, was it a match? That was thrown out. And hundreds, thousands of acres were burned. Just like that. Just in a second. Just one little thing. What's the problem with just doing that? You know, a lot of times we think of that. What is the problem in just that? But it set ablaze this fire. And verse 5 says, while the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. So no matter how small the tongue is, it is so powerful. And you and me and all of our wonderfulness get to try to control it. That's scary. I don't know what time I started, but it says 00. So our words make people or break them. They bring joy or they cause heartache. They create peace or they ensue chaos. We either speak life or we speak death. We either speak things into existence or we become what we hear. That's powerful. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we can either speak light into someone's life or darkness into their life. It's all about what we do with our tongue. It's our words. And if I asked you, so right now, I'm going to ask you, if anyone has ever hurt you, like said something that really crushed your heart, probably you pull it up right like that. You can remember who it was. You remember what they said, right? But then if I said, has anyone ever said anything to you to encourage you? Something that really made you feel really good and built you up. You can remember it, pull it right up, and remember who said it, right? That's the power of our tongue. That's what we do. And that's why we have to be so careful. And number two says, monitoring every word we speak. It may seem difficult at first, but it will prove to move you forward in a purposeful way. And the amount and the weight that our words carry should really scare us. Like, it should really scare us, and it should cause us to pray before we speak. Because you know the times when someone says something that just, like, sets you off, and either you get hurt or just plain mad? How do you respond to that? We have to take an inventory. How do I respond to my family? Do I act nicer to them than I do the people I see in the world? Or am I rougher on them than the people I see in the world? How do I speak to those who I love, to those I care about, to those that God says, that's my child. I love them. And the answer is we don't always watch. We're not always careful. It's easy just to blurt something out. And James says, that ought not be. Because he says, we bless God, and with it we curse those who are made in his image. So we have to set a guard. Psalms 141 says, put a guard in front of your mouth so that I don't bring hurt to others and unwanted consequences into my own life or stricter judgment. Number three says, speak well to others because gossip, sarcasm, criticism are bitter waters which come from worldly wisdom, which comes from demonic influence. So what if every time that you spoke hateful or said something sarcastic or was just, you know, whatever, what if you bit the inside of your jaw? Like every time. I mean, have you ever done that? Like bit it and it's like, you know, and then you make that sore and then it's because it's a sore, you bite it again and then you're, yeah, it's worse and worse. So I think, what if that happened? I think that's what a bridle does. Messes up on the inside of your mouth. So you have to be careful. What words are you speaking? See, I taught my kids that words are like toothpaste. And I started to bring some. When you squeeze that toothpaste out, there is no putting that toothpaste back in the tube. It's out. You can't take it back. It's kind of like feathers. Like if you took a pillow, a feather pillow, and those feathers are pretty small, and you popped it open like you do a bag of chips, those feathers would fly everywhere. And then you're going to try to be collecting them. But the toothpaste is, you know, a mess. It's a disaster. It's sticky. But there's no getting it back in. But the feathers are everywhere. And if the wind or the air is on, it's going to blow them. And you're going to have no idea where those feathers land. And that's what our words do. We just speak them and go on about whatever. And we don't know what kind of destruction they're causing. And you'll hate it. When you do it, you'll hate the mess you made. You'll wish you could take it back. That's right. You'll regret it if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, if you're allowing him in there to do that. He brings that conviction, and you hate it. And then you have an option. Do I repent, or do I just blow it off? Nah, I'm not going to worry about that. But the feathers are going to spread to places where one day you may be somewhere out in the city, and you might find some feathers, and you'd be like, oh, that was me. I did that. That's not good. That's why we have to be careful. That's what our tongue does, because there is a war within us. 1 Corinthians says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? See, it's not only others that you tear down, but sometimes we tear down ourselves with our words. We talk, when the Lord loves us, we're made in his image, just like he loves someone else. And we have to be careful what we speak about, because our words are that important. I have this beautiful girl, and she is beautiful inside and out. And I've been working with her because she's been so beaten down by words from others that now she beats herself down with those words. And so for a while now, I've been working with her, and I've been telling her to look in the mirror and say, you are amazing. You're beautiful. God created you just like you are. God loves you so much. And I'll randomly text her and say, have we talked in that mirror yet? She'll be like, no, Miss Barb, I just can't. So I'll be like, you can, it's going to come. You keep doing that. Are you looking in the mirror? You know, and make sure you do that. Well, Monday night, we were headed to pick up the boys, and she texted me. And she said, Mama Barb, I looked in the mirror, and I said, you are more than a conqueror, and Christ loves me. And I was like thrilled, because, you know, she got it. She was able to do it that one time. And now and the Lord will be able to do a work in her, because our words are important. Now she just has to believe them. Believe that is what the Lord says about us. Ephesians says, therefore, having put away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sin go down on your wrath or your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. And put all bitterness and anger and slander away from you. Now, how do we do that? Because James says that our tongue is untamable. And out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursings, bitter and sweet. He's saying that you can't come into the house of God and praise the Lord and talk about his goodness and then turn around and curse other people. And I'm not talking about the curse words, the ugly words. I'm talking about the things that tear people down, that destroy them. It's walking up, you know, not walking up and just blurting out bad words, but it's walking up and speaking ugly to them, or walking away and speaking ugly about them. We have to be careful. We have to guard our mouth, because if we're not encouraging, then we're tearing down. Amen? And it's the love and grace of God that woos people to him. And it will be the love and grace that we give that will draw people to us. So I don't know if anyone in here has ever read Pilgrim's Progress. Has anyone read it besides Pastor Rhonda? No. And Court. Yep, we did it in school. And Tim Sally. Everybody give him a hand. He don't read many books. Well, there is a guy in the book named Talkative. And he is described as a saint abroad and a devil at home. Yeah. And wouldn't that be horrible? Yes, ma'am. To be called a saint on Sunday, but the devil on Tuesday? All because of how we use our words? Okay, great. What do we do? I mean, is this a useless case? But with God, nothing is useless and nothing is hopeless. You just have to recognize the fact that you need help. And number 4 says, the good news is that the tongue is divinely tameable, because the one who created it can tame it. So we have to align our words and change the life of ourselves and others. We have to win the war within us, because so much depends on it. And wouldn't it be nice if our tongue came with like autocorrect? Better than our phones. Way better than our phones. Yes. And when you would start to, you would say something ugly and your tongue would change it to something kind. And you would want to get mad and be, and it, your tongue would just change. That'd be great. Or maps. You know how maps works. You're driving and she says, "Don't turn this way." So she's going to say, "Don't say that. Speak kindly. Say you're sorry. Oh, don't go down that road." That would be great.
Yes, it would.
It'd be great. But if I could invent something like that, that would be great. But it's never going to be that easy. We could take our tongues tonight and go home. Don't speak to anyone going out the door. Get in your car, go home, lock yourself in. Be best if there's a couple of you to separate rooms and just live that way for a while. Don't speak to anyone. Come back on Sunday. Don't speak. Just walk in. Everyone will be doing it because they'll know. So you just kind of like walk in. And then come sit down. We'll praise God. And then Pastor Rhonda will give us an answer about how we tame that tongue. That'd be great. That could happen. But thank God we don't have to go home and not speak and live in silence for several days. Though Tim and I can talk without even speaking. We can talk by looking at each other. We've married 43 years and have 500 children. But it's never going to be that easy. And the only way that it's going to work is that we have to lay our life on the altar every day.
Yes, amen.
So number five is there is an antidote for the deadly poison of the tongue, and it is Jesus. So I am really thankful that at the end of the chapter, that James gives us hope, saying, "But the wisdom that's from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits." See, that's heavenly wisdom. That comes from yielding ourselves to God. It comes from allowing God to change us from the inside out, because the difference, it's not just the tongue. It's the heart. It all comes back to the heart. We need God to rebuild the software on the inside of us. We need to renew our heart. Samuel 51 says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." So thank God there's hope. Thank God that we don't have to go home and not speak to each other. Thank God that we don't always have to go home and be ugly. Thank God we don't have to go to work and bite our tongue or wear a bridle inside our mouth when we work with people. Thank God that there is an answer to the problem. Thank God that you can tame the tongue, because the one who created it will help you tame your heart and turn your heart toward him, and he will help you tame your tongue. Amen? But we'll never do it by ourselves. And that's the problem, is so many times we think we're going to fix this problem on our own. I'm a fixer. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to talk long enough until I fix it. And doesn't work all the time. But the Holy Spirit is our ever-present help. He knows how to fix it. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's our anchor and our hope. And as long as we're listening and as long as we're obeying, he's going to help us get this thing right. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of you begins to speak to you kind of like maps do. And he tells you, "Don't do that. Shh." And when we listen, because it's so soft and it's so quiet that you got to really listen.
That's good.
But when you, because it's so silent, it's easy to override it and just go ahead and say whatever. And then immediately feel bad. Well, what do you do when you immediately feel bad? See, that's a condition of the heart. We immediately have to do something about it. So we develop and deepen our relationship with him. We dig in the word for instructions. We follow it so closely, and we spend time in his presence, and he'll teach us how to control it. And a changed heart, once we get that heart changed, a changed tongue will follow. As I stay in his presence, I am changed from glory to glory, the word says, from better to better. So he helps us to win the war within us. And you know, as you're raising your children, you know, they start acting like you. You know, they talk like you. They do the things that you do. They respond like you respond. And sometimes you look at them and you're like, "What in the world are you doing?" You're doing me. You're doing it really good, too. So you have to be careful. But just like our children begin to become like us, the more time we're in the Word, the more time we're with God, the more time I'm in His presence, the more time I've got the praise and worship going, the more time I'm listening to His voice, I'm always coming more and more like Him. And I'm going to start resembling Him. And instead of Him saying, "What are you doing? Stop that. You need to be quiet," He's going to be proud because we did be quiet. We were careful with what we said. We were watching our words. We were doing what the Word says to do. And that's where our hope is. When we ask Him to search our heart, I can guarantee you that He will. All He wants is you to ask Him. All He wants is you to let Him. And maybe we become accountable to each other. Hey, would you, you know, people don't like it. But like, if I say that, if you hear me, would you just kind of, you know, the kids and I used to have a thing that it would be like a code, and they would know they were doing it. And no one else had to know they were getting in trouble. And, you know, so maybe a code, maybe an accountability to where, okay, I don't want to, I'm working on this, but I'm struggling, so could you help me? Or maybe you just, you don't want that, I ain't being accountable to nobody. So maybe you want to have self-examination and look in the mirror, and sometimes that is ugly. Sometimes it's not really pretty what looks back at you if you're really honest about it. Because we're good at lying to ourselves as well.
Right.
But you look inward and you find out that this little bitty member is so very powerful. And it acts out most of the time if I'm not in His Word, if I'm not in His presence. So we've got to stop that. But see, the tongue doesn't have a mind of its own.
Right.
It's coming from the heart. So the war within us isn't just our tongue, it's our heart. The war within us isn't just our tongue, but it's our heart. And we can't let it run its course. And change only happens in His presence, when we get the wisdom of God, when He convicts our heart, when we obey that little voice, when we're quiet when we should be, when we just say something nice and encouraging, when we don't even have to sometimes say, when someone's saying something that they should, we don't even have to say anything. Sometimes just be quiet. And everything you are becomes everything He is. That's a great thing to be. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to just be exactly perfect. We're going to make mistakes because we live in a human body. We're not perfect. No one's perfect but Him. We're not going to be perfect, but we can grow better, closer every day, changing all the time. And when people look at us, they'll notice something's different. When they're around us, they'll hear that something's different. And because I just love to keep bringing the good news, I'm going to tell you that it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not going to happen by tomorrow. And it might be a month or two. It could be 6 months or it could be a year. It's according to how hard you work at it. But if you work at it every day, it's going to happen. Because we can win the war within us. His wisdom, His Spirit that comes down from above, that speaks to us, we can change the things that we feel like control us by His Spirit. Romans 8 and 29 says, we are called to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, be transformed into His likeness. John says, we know that when we see Him, we will become more like Him.
Yes.
Proverbs 12 says, the tongue of the wise brings hope. So all we have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask Him. He's just waiting. He's waiting for you to say, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. And to tame our tongue, we first have to declare His praise in becoming more like Him. We speak life. It's little changes that we make. You know, Pastor Rhonda said this on Sunday, and I had been telling Tim about like influencers on Facebook, and they're everywhere. Like influencers are popping up all the time right now. And so I was like, why not be an influencer in your home?
Yes.
Be an influencer of good, that those kids are doing things because they're singing at you, and you don't have to be embarrassed about it when they do it in public. That's good. So we just need to become more like Him, and as we do that, we will see God is going to change us. He will do it because he's faithful and we're his children. And we want, you know, if you have children, you know, you want them to do better. You get on to them. You know, when I raise up that voice, I'm like, that's the mama mad voice. You better not do it. I'm not kidding. Now I'm done. And they know that voice. And so they're nodding. They shouldn't nod. But that's what we do. And because we want them to do better. As much as we want that, God wants that. He wants us walking in everything he has for us. And it's all good. We just have to accept what he's saying. We have to tame, let him control the heart so that we can tame this tongue. Amen? Amen. Can we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you are faithful, that you are good, that there is no one like you, and that you love us so very much that you don't leave us hopeless. You don't leave us stranded into our own devices. But God, you offer a way of escape. And Father, as long as we seek you, you are always right there. And I am so grateful for that. So I ask, Father, that this week, as we go about our day, as we go home even tonight and tomorrow and before we come in on Sunday, and as we praise you Sunday, Father, I pray that we will take inventory and look at our heart, and that we would, step by step, moment by moment, become more like you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.